not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawatakwasin, to all of our relations.
Hey, baby!
and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Today's program is entitled Environmental Protection in Russia, a conversation with Dr. Natalia Davidova and Sasha Biagagin. Dr. Natalia Davidova is director of the Environmental Non-Governmental Organization, Environmental Projects Consulting Institute. Sasha Biagagin is a high school student who won this year's Russian National Junior Water Prize contest for his creative project in the area of protection and restoration of water resources. Today's program will also feature information about the global non-governmental organization, Green Cross International, founded by Mikhail Gorbachev, former president of the Soviet Union. Usit Gamu, protecting Mother Earth, has always been the central concern of Yad Kiddushi Native Center. It is the major focus of our worldwide Wolf Mountain Radio broadcasts, defending the biosphere, caring for the well-being of all life, and concern for humanity is at the heart of Yad Kiddushi Native Center's programs and projects. Yad Kiddushi serves to inform, educate, and enlighten people about important issues facing our planet, with emphasis from indigenous peoples' worldviews. This is why Yad Kiddushi Native Center networks with other organizations and individuals who share our concerns for trying to create a better and more just world. Two such organizations I'm privileged to associate with are Florida Gulf Coast University's Center for Environment and Sustainability Education and Green Cross International. FGCU Center's mission is working toward realizing a sustainable and peaceful future for Earth through scholarship, education, and action. Green Cross International is an international non-governmental organization whose mission is to help ensure a just, sustainable, and secure future for all. Green Cross International founding president and member of the board, Mikhail Gorbachev, former president of the Soviet Union, visited FGCU. As a member of the center's board of advisors, I had the privilege to meet distinguished guests at a luncheon hosted by our FGCU Center. This established a fine relationship between our university and Green Cross, which already shared a connection through the International Earth Charter Movement, which we all support. Green Cross International, like Florida Gulf Coast University Center for Environment and Sustainability Education and Yad Kiddushi Native Center, consider education as a cornerstone to our shared concerns for a better world for all life. All three organizations promote environment and sustainability education, be it through curriculum, lectures, seminars, and field trips. This year, a Russian conservation organization, Environmental Projects Consulting Institute, host of the Russian National Junior Water Prize, as a result of the connection between Florida Gulf Coast University and Green Cross International, visited our university to learn about our Center for Environment and Sustainability Education programs. Dr. Natalia Davidova, director of the Environmental Institute, and Sasha Biagagin, high school winner of the Russian National Junior Water Prize, spent 2 weeks this past June here in Southwest Florida. One Sunday together, we went to the Corkscrew Swamp Wildlife Sanctuary, where I took them on a nature tour of the ancient cypress forest, followed by a nice lunch in my home. During our visit, Natalia and Sasha agreed to be interviewed on Wolf Mountain Radio. It is now my honor to present my studio conversation with Dr. Natalia Davidova and Sasha Biagagin. Later in the program, we will provide more information about Green Cross International. I now welcome Natalia and Sasha to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices.
Thank you. Hello. My name is Natalia Davidova. I'm from Russia, and I'm a director of one of the Russian non-governmental organizations, Environmental Projects Consulting Institute. One of the biggest projects our organization runs is the Russian National Junior Water Prize. It's a contest among the Russian high school students, and this contest encourages a young generation of the Russian Federation to be more active and enthusiastic in the field of environmental protection activities and with focus on water management issues.
Hello, my name is Sasha Bagayev. I'm a student of a high school, number 35, of my town, Nizhnikamsk. My town is Nizhnikamsk. I'm studying in the 10th grade, and I won of a participant of a Russian National Junior Water Prize. I won in the nomination, is called Water and Peace. That is why I'm here at the Gulf Coast University in his home.
One of the most important issues facing all life on our planet is global climate change. Indigenous peoples throughout the world have long warned about the consequences of human impacts to our biosphere, especially in the area of climate change. I refer to many international declarations Indigenous peoples have made to the United Nations Framework Convention on Global Climate Change, including the Albuquerque Declaration, the Lyon, France Declaration, the Hague, Netherlands Declaration, the Bonn, Germany Declaration, the Marrakesh, Morocco Statement, the New Delhi, India Declaration, the Milan, Italy Declaration, and the Kyoto, Japan Declaration, among others. As many listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio have heard, Native peoples are greatly victimized by climate change. Our broadcasts often report on the critical situations facing circumpolar Arctic peoples, as well as Pacific Ocean Islanders, directly as a result of climate change. A decade ago, I attended an international gathering of Native peoples concerned about the future well-being of Mother Earth. I was privileged to meet a number of Indigenous peoples from different areas of the former Soviet Union. It was an honor to interview them on Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, where we talked about energy, environment, and conservation issues in their tribal homelands. The international scientific community is now recognizing the knowledge Indigenous peoples have about changes to the environment, such as climate change and degradation of water resources. This morning, during our field trip to the Corkscrew Falls and Wildlife Sanctuary, we talked about the serious global climate change and the importance of educating policymakers as well as the general public about global climate change. It is critical to reduce the amount of toxic pollutants, such as carbon dioxide, into the atmosphere in order to combat impacts such as sea level rise, increased number and intensity of severe storms, not to mention climate threats to agriculture and biodiversity. Natalia, would you share any comments you have on this topic of global climate change, perhaps from a Russian viewpoint?
Within our contest, we have special nomination, Water and Climate, because it's so important for all people living around the world. And for Russia, it's also very important because, for example, in the Volga River Basin, it's the symbol of Russia and the biggest European river. We are really faced with the situation, with changes caused by the climate change. For example, droughts, floodings, and moving species towards the north. There are sort of invasive species, and it's very dangerous to have the species in our habitat. And also, we experience a lack of water resources because of the climate change. And it's very important and very crucial issue for all people living in the area. And that is why we encourage young people to be aware of the problem, because this global climate change exists. It really exists. So there is no any doubt. But we can realize the local impacts of climate change living in the area at the municipal level.
Music from Native American Haudenosaunee singer-songwriter Joanne Shenandoah off her Silver Wave record CD named Covenant. The name of that song was entitled Daughter of Water. Water is sacred to all Native peoples throughout the world. Joanne wrote a note about her song Daughter of Water, which I will now read from the CD description. Quote, one of the many celebrations among the Haudenosaunee is a dance dedicated to life's waters. Native prosperity was defined not by the accumulation of material things, but by an intimate relationship with the natural world. This knowledge enabled the Aboriginal peoples of this land to develop societies which placed a high value on clean air, pure water, fertile soils, and abundance of space for other species of life. The Haudenosaunee recognized all living things possess rights equal to those of human rights, rights which cannot be breached without penalty. These rights were so deeply entrenched in the religion, political laws, and social customs that contamination of our waters was unthinkable. The world needs to adopt these kinds of values if it is to avoid ecological catastrophe, unquote. That song is a good segue to my next question to you, Sasha, to please talk about your project for the Russian National Junior Water Prize.
My project is called Supply of Nizhikamsk High School No. 35 with Quality Drinking Water. My main goal was find the optimal way how I can to provide my school with quality drinking water. Why? Because I have made the analysis of tap, artesian and spring water in my town, and this analysis has shown that quality of water doesn't meet the requirements on hardness, chlorine, sulfates, nitrates, iron and microbiological criteria. So it's very dangerous for health. We really need to get the pure drinking water. So now in my town there are three possible ways how to get this quality water. First way is the using of artesian and spring sources, but the analysis of this water has shown that this water also doesn't meet the requirements of drinking water, so we can use it just after additional purification. The second way is buying of bottled water, but it's too expensive. And the third way is installation of the purification system. I have designed 4-stage purification system for my school. I have chosen the four-stage system because it completely provides purification water from all existing contaminants which can be present in water. So the first stage is a rush purification, using of a wire mesh filter. And the second stage is I use the combined filter and also carbon filter. It's clean from all inorganic substances from water. The third stage is filters of deep purification. These filters consist from special material, polypropylene, with porosity about 20 microns, so it keeps the smallest contaminants from water. And the last stage of purification is ultraviolet sterilizer, so they clean water from microbiological contaminants. So I have calculated the costs of this system and the annual maintenance of this system, and I have offered this system to the school authorities, and they have made a decision to implement this system in my school this summer. After that, I have made the survey of parents of my school, and the parents agreed to pay for purchase installation system in school. Also, opinion poll of local people in my town has shown problem of water is on the third place of significance in my town after air pollution.
Listening to both of you today on Wolf Mountain Radio gives me a sense of hope for the future. It's wonderful to meet people from different places and hear how we are all concerned about the well-being of all life on our planet. As a member of Florida Gulf Coast University Center for Environment and Sustainability Education Board of Advisors, let me say our center is honored to have you both visit Florida Gulf Coast University for several weeks, as it was our honor to have former Soviet Union President Mikhail Gorbachev founder of Green Cross International, as well as his advisor and Green Cross International president, Mr. Alexander Lickertal, visit FGCU. FGCU is very special in higher education, since a major focus of our academics is promoting environment, sustainability, and respect for cultural diversity. We're the only American university that requires all students to learn about the biosphere and how we humans are interconnected to our planet Earth. I know you observe this important curriculum and research focus of FGCU, and in particular, our center's connection with the Earth Charter. As I mentioned in our program introduction, Yad Kedeshi Nehru Center, Florida Gulf Coast University, and Green Cross International are also very supportive of the International Earth Charter Initiative. The Earth Charter is a declaration of fundamental principles for building a just, sustainable, and peaceful global society for the 21st century. Perhaps this is a good way to conclude today's interview. Would you please share any thoughts you have about visiting Florida Gulf Coast University in Southwest Florida?
First of all, thank you for your hospitality in your house. Let's say our first impression of Florida was your people, was the Floridians, because, you know, there are a lot of kindness, there are a lot of warmness around us. So thank you so much for this opportunity to be with you, with all of you. As for the educational system in the Florida Gulf Coast University, I would say that really it impressed me very much, because unfortunately we do not have in Russia special classes like you have in the university about sustainable development and sustainable ecological education, and also special classes on Earth Charter. I would like, and I'm very glad to get this information, to get this methodology, how to learn the students on these subjects. I would like to share all this knowledge I got here with my Russian colleagues.
And maybe, my friend, do you have any last words you'd like to say, not only about your visit to South Florida, but also to people of your generation throughout the world who will listen to this, maybe some encouragement to think about the environment?
You know, in Russia now, more and more people begin think about environment, environmental education. So I'm one of them, and I think there are great opportunities in the United States to students who now don't think about future, begin think about it. So I see there is a great university, I mean Gulf Coast University, and they teach students about very important thing of our life. I think it's great. It's very great.
Respect and honor towards our elders. We hold the truth secrets, the lessons of her life, and of our past. It is time for us to conduct ourselves properly, in accordance to the ancient ways that have been entrusted to us. We preserve our strength for you, through your words, through your songs, and our dance. We show our love for you.
Listening to Yat Kedichi Native Center's Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices focuses on protecting Mother Earth and defending native lands and indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing native peoples throughout the world with native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of indigenous peoples. We are broadcasting on Radio for Peace International. Radio for Peace is the voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, defender of truth. Radio for Peace International is global community radio.
The music you heard prior to our program station identification was from Haudenosaunee singer-songwriter Howard Lyons off his Sound of America record CD, Spirit Walk. The name of that song was entitled For a Seventh Generation. As most listeners to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices know, many indigenous peoples throughout the world live by the ethic known as the Principle of Seven Generations. This refers to our native value of thinking about how our thoughts and actions impact all life in the future, and to ensure we do as best we can to care for and protect Mother Earth, as well as pass on this code of behavior to the next generations, so they may in turn teach this to their children. Simply, reverence for all life. In today's program introduction, I mentioned that Wolf Mountain Radio would provide some information about Green Cross International. Their website, www.gci.ch, best describes their mission, which is to help ensure a just, sustainable, and secure future for all by fostering a value shift and cultivating a new sense of global interdependence and shared responsibility in humanity's relationship with nature. At this time in today's program, I wish to share audio remarks from several Green Cross International spokespersons recorded by Zitto.com during the 2007 Green Cross International General Assembly in New Orleans, USA. First, we will hear Green Cross International founder Mikhail Gorbachev. Next, Green Cross International Chief Executive Officer Dr. Alexander Lekutol, followed by Green Cross International Vice President Bertrand Cherrier speaking on Green Cross International's water program in keeping with today's guests from the Russian National Junior Water Prize, Natalia and Sasha.
Все, что, чем живет семья,
whatever you need for your family's life, you have to address based on the needs of the environment. For example, you have to look at how much water you spend on any given day. I understand that 250 or 300 liters of water per day is being used in this country by one person. In other countries, in other places, there is just no water. More than a billion people have no access to good water, and 2 billion people have no access to sanitation. So preserving water and making sure that you don't pollute the environment, that's very important. And also educate your children with respect for the environment, protect the environment. If this becomes etched in people's minds, then people will rally and they will fight and they will protect the rivers, the seas, and they will protect the forests and the animals. They will understand that we've done a lot of damage to our planet. But let me tell you, our planet cannot sue us in a court. We cannot file legal action. We will actually be the victims, ultimately. When we talk about nature, we talk about the human being in nature. And about the future of mankind, if mankind continues to neglect the need to protect the environment. So, ultimately, I think it all depends on us.
I would say the profile of the Green Cross is quite unique because there are hundreds and maybe thousands of organizations dealing with the issues of sustainable development. Usually these organizations are doing a very useful work, but sometimes it's difficult to understand the difference. Green Cross works on the critical nexus between the issues of security, poverty eradication, and environmental degradation. And I do not think that there are organizations, at least non-governmental organizations, with a similar profile. As Winston Churchill said, the optimist sees an opportunity in any problem, while pessimist sees the problem in any opportunity. Being an optimist, I think that we need constantly adapt our organization to the speedily changing world today. We are entering into the global water crisis. Every day, 10,000 people die because of the water shortages or bad water. We help people to have access to the fresh water. We help people to save water due to rain harvesting in Bolivia, for instance. And with the bigger projects, we help the communities to find a solutions to the conflicts that sometimes turn out or explode as a result of the mismanagement of the water resources or other natural resources development. 15 years ago, when we've started the activities of Green Cross, it was even unimaginable that governments will rate environmental issues, I would say, in parallel to the problems of humanitarian consequences of wars and conflicts. Therefore, I think one of the strategic achievements of Green Cross is the fact that we have convinced the international community that the relief operations should be done in parallel for human being and for environment. And that is being done now. Even due to this work, the United Nations have created a joint unit of several entities, UN entities that deal with humanitarian activities and environmental as well. Mahatma Gandhi once said that there is one major social sin, and that's faith without sacrifice. And we're not ready to sacrifice even simplest conveniences. There is only 10% of the people that are ready to change their lifestyles according to their beliefs, whether it be religion, political convictions, or environmental beliefs. The rest of the people should be guided to the necessary solutions. And I think that it is the responsibility to a certain extent of the legislature to create the necessary norms that will motivate people. It's not necessarily, you know, fines and something, but tax exemption if you use solar batteries or something like that. There should be motivation to become sustainable. How many people do switch off their television sets in the big city? I mean, completely. Not just running this convenient red light of the remote control on and on during day and night. But you will be surprised that if you take a multi-million city, the energy that is needed to feed this very convenient red light on the remote controls is equal to the energy produced by a medium nuclear power station. So just cut it off, and then the government might consider not to build another nuclear power.
Of a water crisis in the world is not just in the Middle East, it's many places in the world, in the US, in Africa, Middle East, East Asia. Everywhere we have a problem of water, not scarcity in reality, but a crisis of management, because we use the water as a gift, and we are not using water as a something that has to be managed for long term, and water is polluted everywhere and not used efficiently, and the scarcity is more in a crisis of management. In the future, we will have more conflict between users over water, and more conflict also between countries sharing the same aquifers, the same rivers, and because water is essential for life and development. And we have to elaborate tools, international tools, to facilitate the dialogues and cooperation. It's why we are asking for the ratification of a UN Water, International Water Courses Convention, the New York Convention, adopted in 1997, but not into force for the moment. This convention will help for the better management of international water courses. The countries, when they will accept and the principle of this convention, is the equity principle and the sharing equitable manner the water, and also the responsibility of upstream countries not to take all the water and no enough water for the downstream countries. And that the convention facilitates the elaboration of common rules. Visual impact of climate change is water, is a perturbation of water cycle, is hurricane, floods, drought, and with more intense hurricane and more intense floods and more intense floodings. And that is the first presentation, first modification of climate change. And the people, what has to be done in the future is to cope with the problem of climate change, also to elaborate, to adapt it measures for the on the water. But that will be a conflict, especially with developing countries, because they have not able, they are not able to finance the adapted measures, and they are not responsible for the modification of climate change, and they have to adapt. And that it will be more and more tension between developing country and developed country, and that has to be taken into account. And that is a part of the work of Green Cross to bring awareness on this potential conflict, the drop of water we save, or the, any kilowatt or liter of oil that we save is helping. And that we have to change the way we are using energy, the way we are using water. And all individuals can do a lot. 50% of energy is spent by individuals, globally is controlled by personal people. And this means that you can reduce the speed of engine, of your car, you can make a lot of ecological behavior. And but it's not enough, because some other are out of our control, individual control. The landscaping and the, or the urban management, urban planning is absolutely not in our hand. And that is a politician has to impose. And is to support green movement or to green leaders, to push the leaders to change their mind in order to include environment and ecology in their program. But not just in the surface, but in the deep. And because we are now in a situation of emergency to change the way we are using energy and natural resources. And we have not a lot of time to change in order to keep the planet safe or sustainable for the future. It's not, I mean, a business will save since 30 years. What was predicted 30 years ago happened now. And in terms of energy consumption, in terms of population growth, in terms of difficulty of food production, is nothing new. Nothing new. It's just what we was imagined 30 years ago happened now. And what imagined 30 years ago is clearly to have a big crisis, ecological crisis, financial crisis, in the next 5 to 15 years. That is a real situation. And other words are just a lie. And we are in this very bad situation. And all the alarms pronounced and the red light are not enough. Maybe we should wait the big crisis in order to find good solution. But we should wait. We should be prepared to find a good solution.
You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kiddushin Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones. We just heard audio remarks from Green Cross International founder, Mikhail Gorbachev, then Green Cross International CEO, Dr. Alexander Likatal, followed by Green Cross International Vice President, Bertrand Cherrier. I want to sincerely thank today's program guests from the Russian National Junior Water Prize. It was great to have you visit here in my home. Well, dear friends, we're about out of time for this edition of Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We shall conclude today's broadcast with a native flute song by Robert Tree Cody and Hovaya Edwards off their Kenyan record CD, Reflections. The name of the song is Buffalo Prayer Song. To us native peoples of what's now called North America, bison, more commonly called buffalo, are sacred animal relatives. As many listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, they became nearly extinct at the end of the 19th century as part of the U.S. government's war against Native American peoples. The sacred buffalo are returning to the grasslands, and we hope that symbolizes a way of living in peace with Mother Earth. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kinawan Talk Masin, to all of our relations. ¶¶